T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll get you more information on this whole Lori Loughlin crime wave.
So it sounds like she was just trying to get her kid into school, not necessarily a bunch of kids.
Now, her husband is a guy named Massimo Giannulli.
Classic.
He's the founder of Massimo Clothing, which I'm not familiar with.
I have those socks on right now.
But Lucy knew it. Lucy of Media said, of course I've heard of it.
Good stuff there.
She and her husband reportedly paid $500,000 to have their two daughters designated as recruits for the crew team at USC, despite the fact they didn't actually do any crew.
So
they didn't participate in crew.
So now that we have this detail to it, several things jump out. One, their kids must be dumb. Like, how dumb are their kids? And they have no faith that they'd be able to get in on their own. They can't get into Southern Cal.
We gotta pay $500,000 to get into USC.
But think about that. They obviously have a ton of money, and not just Hallmark Channel money. They have this guy's clothing company, right? So if they're willing to bribe somebody $500,000, how do you not go to Southern Cal and say, listen, we can pay full. That's nice. And oh, by the way, we're considering making a donation every year or whatever it is while they're there. And then maybe even after the fact, Southern Cal would let them in so fast. Meanwhile, they need to come up with this. Oh, they're going to be fake crew participants.
So
that's so dumb. And that's embarrassing for the kids.
So Felicity Huffman and her husband, William H. Mason.
That's right.
They reportedly made a charitable contribution.
Here you go.
Of $15,000 to participate in a college entrance exam cheating scheme behalf of their eldest daughter. Nice. Again, we go back to how smart must she be.
But so they're only willing to go $15,000. Meanwhile,
they don't really love her.
Lori Loughlin over here is going $500,000.
According to TMZ, the federal indictment out of Boston has a twist.
Twist?
It says most of the kids admitted to the schools had no idea their parents allegedly greased the wheels to get them in.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway.
My college process was a little bit different. It was, hey, Hobart.
Well, you were highly recruited athlete.
It was, how much can you pay for us, Hobart? That's the question. A little bit different than Lori Loughlin. So she'll be behind bars probably in no time.
It's I don't think Lori's
going to
go. I don't think Lori's. Although it would make a pretty good.
Is there death penalty
Hallmark
in California?
Movie, you know, a
it could.
Here,
Lori,
you know, they could
based on true events.
Lori behind bars
it
or
could.
Something.
Yeah, sure.
So during the open, there, you heard a little cut from Stephen A. Smith, and it's been a few years since this has reared its ugly head in these parts.
Yeah,
but
come
we got
on.
Back to. We've gotten back to. Is Gordon Hayward on the Celtics simply because he's a white player in the NBA?
Come on. How bad is this? Here we go again. It's embarrassing. I saw it. There was an article on it yesterday. Then obviously Stephen A is talking about it a little bit. We'll hear from him in just a second. But it's just, really? Like, is that, what is this based off of? Like, it's obnoxious to even kind of give it any more life than it is. But I guess it's kind of a story right now. But I would just, I immediately reject it. Like, there's just, no, I don't feel that way.
Well, Stephen A. doesn't reject it.
No, of course not. He does not.
The piece, and I think Rossi sent it out to us last night. And,
yeah, it was
and
like
I
pro basketball talk, I think.
Yeah, and I read through it. The gist of the article is that basically Gordon Hayward was getting favorable treatment because fans in Boston prefer white superstars. So I guess by inference, what they're saying is Brad Stevens is playing him because fans like white superstars. At the start of the season, they were starting him. Team went 8-7 when they were starting him. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he was coming off a shattered ankle. And that reportedly some of the black players on the team resented him because they thought he was only starting because he was white.
There's no way they thought that. There's no way they thought that. But here's what Stephen A. Smith said.
In the case of Brad Stevens, you have a situation where this man, Gordon Hayward, start for you at Butler. And could it be that you're willing to go up against everything that's made you a great coach because you want to take care of your guy? Then there's the element of Boston, Massachusetts. They don't just want a star. Of course, they'll take any star that they can get because their priority is winning. But everybody and their mother knows that, particularly when it comes to Boston, if we could have a white superstar, that would be even better. And they viewed Gordon Hayward as having that kind of potential. So all of those things considered, the players recognized this, were aware of it, and ultimately those who were compromised by having to be on a court with Gordon Hayward were sensitive to it. Not because they don't like him, not because he's not a good guy, because he is a good guy. It's just that they know he hasn't fully recovered 100% from his injury. So he's not the same as he used to be. They know he's going to be a step slower. They know he's going to be compromised. I have spoken to people in the league who literally have said, look, man, no disrespect to Gordon Hayward. Nice guy, but he's really, really compromised right now. He's not the same guy that he was. And they said, we actually kind of feel sorry for him because he is a nice guy and we know he's trying to come back from injury. So you got all of that going on in Boston, all evolving around Gordon Hayward. And Kyrie Irving is looking at everybody and saying, but y'all talking about me. What's wrong with y'all? That's what's going on in Boston.
I mean, what's wrong with you? Like, if you think that that is part of the story, I understand players being upset that Gordon Hayward's getting a lot of time. But for them to say, oh, and by the way, the fans like him more because he's white, maybe some of the fans are giving him a little bit of a break because he shattered his ankle last year. It was one of the most disgusting injuries I've ever seen live. And guess what? He's not going to be the same player. But how does he get better? On the bench? You have to play him. Now, maybe you can adjust how much he plays. And even as soon as 2 weeks ago, I, also a Celtics fan, was saying, sit Hayward. I said, you have to bench him. And then what does he do? He goes out and scores 30 against the Warriors. So it shows how dumb I am. But my thought was, people were getting sick of Hayward. They were. They weren't embracing
in this town,
Hayward.
The two members of the Celtics who've gotten the most criticism this year are Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
Right. And Kyrie Irving, guess what, is a superstar. He is a super-duper star, if you want to say it. Gordon Hayward is not. Gordon Hayward is an all-star, or at least he was an all-star. Kyrie Irving's on a different level. So for Stephen A. to be like, why is Kyrie getting all this stuff? That's how it works. Even Kyrie knows that. The star players, it's LeBron, it's going to be Durant and Curry, it's going to be Anthony Davis. All of these guys are going to get the questions every single time. And Gordon Hayward has sort of a built-in excuse. Now, some people are still on that and saying, hey, this is going to take a whole year to recover. Some people are saying, all right, enough's enough. You know, this guy should be recovered by now. But we all saw what happened to Gordon Hayward. And if there's any kind of jealousy or resentment, it's not because he's white. It's because they think, I'm talking about the teammates, they think that maybe he's getting special treatment because of Brad Stevens. Because he's like the coach's son is what it feels like. They have that relationship from going back to college. Like, is this sourced at all? Or is this just what he and this idiot from Pro Basketball Talk have come up with? Do you think Jaylen Brown, like, he might be frustrated with Hayward at times, but do you think that's really part of his thinking?
And let's be honest, as soon as somebody like Stephen A. or one of these other Nimrods brings this up, it's always, well, we all know the history of Boston. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Well, and this got brought up.
You've been to Celtics games. I've been to Celtics games. We watch all of them on TV. Do you sense any less appreciation for Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Kyrie Irving because they're black athletes for the Celtics? Why do people continue this idiotic storyline?
Stephen A., we know he doesn't do a whole lot of research in some of the topics that he's had, and you know, like with the Hunter Henry stuff, remember the Derek Thomas stuff? He was joking about that. So maybe this is an old storyline. He just kind of goes back to it. Like, oh, Gordon Hayward's not doing very well. I'm just going to, you know, clearly this is why. But I wonder, like, did he really get that information from Brown or Tatum or Rozier or even Kyrie Irving? Because if you go to a Celtics game right now and there are people wearing jerseys in the crowd, I would say the vast majority are Kyrie Irving. The next group might be like Garnett and Pierce, old ones, before you get to Gordon Hayward. And guess what? Gordon Hayward is a good player. Gordon Hayward would have gotten a max contract from at least two other teams. It's almost like they're making out like the Celtics wanted a white superstar, so they paid him more than anybody. It's like, no, Utah wanted him, and wasn't it Miami? Was Miami the other finalist?
Yeah, that was the finalist right behind Boston.
Yes. So those teams were willing to give him the money. Would that have been racist of Miami or reverse racist or whatever you want to call it for them to pay him? He was a really good player. It made sense.
Now, let me just give you a line from this dopes article. This guy, his name is Dan Feldman.
This is so stupid.
He says, and I'm quoting now, are there Celtics fans who'd prefer a white star? Yes. Has that thinking trickled into the team's actual decision-making? I don't know.
No. The answer's no. Like, you think Danny Ainge is like, well, wait a minute. I like Anthony Davis, but something's missing there. Something's not right about it.
So Brad Stevens is sitting there making decisions. Now, I might get, and I've even said, you know, his relationship with Gordon Hayward going back to when he recruited him out of high school.
Yeah.
And then at Butler, he may be too close to this guy. But never in my wildest dreams did I think in my head, well, he's playing Gordon Hayward, you know, because he's white.
No, I think there is a little bit of like the coach's pet type of mentality. Yeah.
I think that's valid, by the way.
But that could have been, you know, he coached Shelvin Mack at Butler. I think the same thing could be if he coached Shelvin Mack here. You might think of it the same way. I just think it's a really weird. So last year, before he shattered his ankle, Gordon Hayward was in the starting lineup. Was he in the starting lineup because of his race? I feel like no. I feel like based off of how he's played in the NBA, the great career that he had with Utah, and oh, by the way, the amount of money that the Celtics gave him, he was supposed to be one of their starters. He was supposed to be one of their main pieces for a championship team. And again, I just think it's been a really tough dynamic for Brad Stevens to figure out how do we get the most out of this guy. Because think about it.
We're better off if he's back to a somewhat normal level.
One night he's scoring 30 points. One night he's scoring 6. It's like, how do you know what you're getting with Gordon Hayward? And oh, by the way, after 20 games, I guess 15 that he played, because 5 of them he was sitting out because he had a minutes restriction. But he yanked him out of the starting lineup. He didn't start anymore. So he did, but everybody, before the season started, and you knew how Gordon Hayward was going to respond to the injury, every single person that paid attention to basketball would have said their best 5 is Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Hayward, Tatum, and Horford. Everybody would have said that. Now, as the season got going, you realized he's not right now.
Yeah,
and guess what?
Same.
Maybe Jaylen Brown isn't. Now, they've both started to play a little bit better. But it's just so dumb to even go back to this with the stupid race stuff as it relates to this.
Again, this article, and I'm using the term loosely.
Yeah,
okay?
Right. This think piece.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it. A think piece. He's saying, where's the line here about the whole? Oh, here we go. Boston has earned a reputation for its racism. That doesn't make everyone in Boston racist.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
That doesn't make anyone in the Celtics racist.
All right, well.
That doesn't make Boston the only city with racism, but there's a perception, and sometimes perception itself matters.
So should they not have Gordon Hayward on the team? Should they not have Brad Stevens as the coach?
Apparently, you know,
like,
I'm
going
to go out on a limb and suggest that if they had been able to get Kevin Durant instead of Gordon Hayward, they would have done that.
They would have preferred Kevin Durant.
They would have brought Kevin Durant in.
You know what, Dale? I think you might be right about that.
They didn't get the Kevin Durant thing done. They tried hard.
They did.
I mean, they sent Tom Brady on a recruiting trip
for
Kevin Durant.
That's right.
And when that didn't work out, plan B was Gordon Hayward.
Because I remember talking about it with you and with Michael 2 years ago when Gordon Hayward got cheered at the Garden and Jay Crowder got all butthurt about it. Who's a better player? Even right now, who's a better player, Gordon Hayward or Jay Crowder? So give me a break with that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. I will just briefly tell you this. This college exam cheating scheme has taken over the news cycle.
It's a big scandal.
There is a live press conference at this moment by the Department of Justice in Boston, Massachusetts. It's running live on CNN right now, where they are describing this whole thing. Now, listen to this. We thought Lori Loughlin, you know, was going crazy. She supposedly paid $500,000 to get her dopey kids into USC.
Yeah.
The bribes ranged from a few thousand dollars.
That's not going to get it
Felicity
done.
That's Huffman.
Not going to get it
15
done.
Grand.
She doesn't care about her kids.
Up to $6 million.
Oh, that person's desperate.
How stupid is your kid if you got to pay $6 million to get them into school?
Just the dumbest. Has no chance. $6 million. That's outrageous.
So
what school was that? That better be a pretty good. That better be the
that
Yale.
That better be Stanford
yeah,
or Yale.
Yeah.
Among the people who have been charged, according to news reports, is the former women's soccer coach at Yale.
She can't get her kid into Yale.
Well, no,
she worked at Yale.
No, but no.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, yeah. She's
the
on the other side of it. My bad.
Part
yeah,
of this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
We'll
yes.
pay a bribe. You'll
yeah.
create a
pretend they're on the team.
Yeah. You'll say, oh yeah, I'm recruiting this kid, and then you know once Yale lets him in. Then you say, I don't want to play soccer
just
anymore.
Just do what I did. Apply to a million schools, get into like three, and then pick one.
Okay, I'm going
That's
here.
What you do. You have the ones that you'd like to get into that say no. Then you have a couple that you think you can get into. And then a couple safety schools. You ever heard of safety schools? That's what you got to do. Or maybe if your parents have to pay $6 million for you to get into college, college ain't for you. It's not for everybody.
You know, trade
do something
school
else.
Is not
no,
a bad
there's
thing.
There's a lot of great things you can do. $6 million just so you can pay another however many, like probably $1 million now to go to school.
So according to this report I'm reading, the coaches who were involved, like the former women's soccer coach at Yale, they would arrange a fake profile that listed the prospective student as an athlete. And then exam administrators would either hire proctors to take the exam, the entrance exam, or correct the answers of the student.
Sitting there with an eraser. No, that's not good.
I am looking online at a photograph. They photoshopped kids' faces
so they're
onto athletes. Like they show this. They
like
show
a bad
this,
Photoshop.
This water that's polo kit. They took a photo of one of the dopey kids and photoshopped it onto a real water polo athlete. Said, see, she plays water polo.
It's like, that's just a photo. Can we see a highlight tape? Like, we're gonna have to call Pixar to make sure we can get this thing done.
No.
If you had to fake an entire highlight video, it'd be amazing. But that is just so stupid. So now you're faking these tests. You're also faking, you know, sports and extracurricular activities. That is so dumb.
Don't you just have to pay tuition to get into a school anyways?
That's what I thought. Like, anytime someone's like, do you need financial aid? And if they check no, I feel like they automatically get in. I feel like that's how it works.
Aside from the Ivy League schools, I could have gone to any school I wanted to if I didn't need financial aid.
Oh, look at the big brain on Rossi. Wow.
No, that's the point. I didn't have said big brain, so I needed to pay, but...
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah. I was going to say, because I get rejected by a lot of places.
Keith, when you made your decision, did you like a hat day? Did you like, you know, all the schools?
The hat day? Yeah. Going to Hobart. Everyone's like, never heard of it. I was like, well, you will. So someday.
I swore that my kid was applying to places just to accumulate acceptance letters.
Oh, well, good for it's like, him or her or
no,
both.
No, Bree.
Oh, okay.
The youngest. And I'd say, you're not going here. Yeah, I know, but I wanted to see if I could get in.
I made the bold decision to apply early to Dartmouth.
Bold.
Did not get into Dartmouth.
I went on the football recruiting visit there, which was nice, and then looked around. I'm like, I probably wouldn't play here necessarily. But I was there, met the coach, talked to the coach and everything else.
He was real nice.
Applied early. They say if you apply early, you get a leg up. Then I got a very thin letter sent to me just a few weeks later. Very thin letter. I'm like, oh, maybe they'll send me good stuff later.
Maybe
they did not.
Maybe the heftier package will come later on.
You're like, maybe I got on the wait list? Nope. Just a no thanks. But I probably didn't expect to go to Dartmouth.
See, now, you know, if your parents
but
had
shoot or
paid
shoot.
$500,000.
Yeah, they did not. That could have helped.
You could have helped. You'd have gotten in.
Oh, my God. Where were they then? Yeah, I could have.
If they loved you.
$500,000.
They would have.
I know. They would have sold the house, sold their cars, sold everything else, and then maybe I could have gone to Dartmouth. Great.
And then you wouldn't be sitting here with me. You'd
no, that's
be a
true.
Doctor or something
I would.
Somewhere.
I definitely would be inventing something. I'd be very, very intelligent. But no, it all worked out, Dale.
Well, whatever it
you
takes.
Know?
Back to the calls at 617-779-7937. Jim's in Newburyport. Hey, Jim.
Hey, some of these.
Hello?
Whoa.
I'm not surprised that a person who will buy their kid a $100,000 Land Rover won't do the same thing for their school. And the reason why these coaches might do some of this, like a basketball coach or a football coach who needs every scholarship, they're fully funded. And some of these other sports are not. So they'll take kids that are even GPA boosters, or what they can do is take the kid in, put the money in their pocket, and then say they cut the kid because they didn't have the ability. You know,
right? Exactly. You're not going to see any D1 football or basketball coaches caught up in this because they're already making millions of dollars. But you know, the girls' soccer coach or the water polo coach, probably would say, you know what, if I can make some more money, I'll do it.
And the coaches, they don't have complete, you know what, control admissions office, but they do have some. And you know, if I went to a school and said I could play the clarinet and speak five languages to get in, the admission office might not be too happy after I do and they find out I can't.
Yeah, they're like, prove it. You're like, oh, I don't have the clarinet on me.
I didn't bring my clarinet with me.
They're like, well, speak a language. Like, I'd rather not. They're like, okay, you're done. You're done.
You could try that.
You could try it. I don't think it would work for you.
617-779-7937, Jackson, New Hampshire. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Okay, I'm trying to take you off. Okay.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
I'm calling response to the stories by Stephen A. Smith and the other guy.
Yes.
And it's disgusting because it's obvious they haven't done any research, spent any time, or talked to anybody in Boston. They're perpetuating a 40-year-old myth. It's just disgusting. It reminds me of the actor there. What's his name?
From Empire.
Yes, from Empire.
Oh, Jesse Smollett. Yeah.
It's a co-call?
I will say this. Are there racists in Boston? Yes, absolutely, positively. Are there racists in Detroit and L.A. and Miami and every other city in America? Yes.
Did he get help on that call?
He did.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Dale. We've had this discussion before. That's what drives you nuts.
But the
it's
idea
not
that,
isolated
oh, well,
to Boston.
Boston, that's yeah. the racist city.
No, right. So then when they do have a white player on the basketball team, all of a sudden it becomes this whole issue, right? It becomes a whole thing. Now, the one thing I would say is it's taken, 60-something games to get to this point. We had not heard this one yet about Gordon Hayward. This is a new take.
No, this is
a new take. Well, it's a new
old
take. Yeah, right. It's a very, very old take with a new spin to it. But it's just so stupid. And then to throw it out there. But then, you know, even in the thing, they try to couch it a little bit. Like you were reading from the article that came off of some of Stephen A. Smith's comments. But this Feldman who wrote it, he's like, Has that thinking, talking about would Celtics fans prefer a white star, has that thinking trickled into the team's actual decision making? I don't know.
Yeah, but you're still
you're suggesting that it does.
You know,
or the only
is?
Reason why he's playing
that's
is
the classic.
Because,
hey, I'm only asking the question
just
here.
Just throwing it out there. Like, well, how do you feel about it, Feldman? Like, what do you really think?
And my guess is Feldman wouldn't have the courage.
No.
To say, well, obviously.
No, they're not. Because you certainly can't prove. I mean, now you'd then be putting it on Danny Ainge, and you'd be putting it on Celtics ownership, that their moves, that even is a consideration for them when they make trades, when they draft players, when they, you know, sign free agents. There's no way, I believe, that even comes across their mind.
And it's so frustrating for real sports fans in Boston, because they get tagged with this stuff, and it happens every few years. In the aftermath of Adam Jones, it happened, you know, oh, well, we know what happens at Fenway. And look, as though there aren't dopes and racists in every arena and stadium in America. There are.
Oh, there. I mean, there absolutely is. And we hear stories. We just don't always talk about them. But whether it's, you know, basketball players in other cities. I mean, look at what Russell Westbrook has been dealing with, right? And those pop up. There's been certain ones with baseball players in other stadiums. Even some of the hockey players that have gotten some bad treatment in other places. But it's like a headline for a day, then it's gone. And it's not tied into this long history that everybody keeps connecting here. And in the article, they reference how Gordon Hayward was cheered when he was with the Jazz.
Remember they did that whole, you
yes,
know, like trying to
I
convince
know,
him.
But,
just like they did with Kevin Durant.
Right, and then so he points that out. He's like, they did it with Durant and Davis, but Durant and Davis are significantly better than Hayward. But then he points out, he's like, but, you know, Hayward might have been the best free agent they could get that season. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
So that's why they did
that's
it.
That's it. He was the best free agent they could get.
And I think fans are, you know, they know that Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward have a relationship. So not only was he a good player, an all-star player, but he was realistic. Like, there was a good chance. Obviously, it worked out that they did. But when you saw him and you knew that his deal was up, you said, wow, could the Celtics sign Gordon Hayward? Like, yeah. Realistically,
and
they
got
could.
A pretty good chance considering who the head coach is,
right?
And the fact that he recruited him to play for him in college.
It's not the only team in the league that is rooting for free agents or cheers for free agents when they come into town and chants their names and does all that stuff. So that if you're going to write that down, but then you immediately kind of backtrack on it, like what's the point? Like there's really no article here.
I don't understand. Well, I probably should understand, but
in the words of Kyrie Irving, is for likes and clicks. Through likes and clicks.
So why is it that this guy decided?
I don't know.
And by the way, taking his point one step further, he's saying it's the fans who want a white superstar here. So he's saying Brad Stevens is playing him because Brad Stevens is trying to keep the fans happy. He's right. Not even saying Brad is the guy.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Brad Stevens took him out of the starting lineup.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fans must have been pissed about that.
Dan left that out of this.
How bad were the fans? I feel like before the Warriors game where he went for 30 points, I was not alone suggesting that he sits out for a while.
Yeah.
There was no clamoring for, hey, come on, give this guy a chance. It was getting to the point the team was struggling. They were 3-7 over this 10-game stretch, and Gordon Hayward did not look very good. Now, he has snapped out of it. He had a pretty good road trip. He was shooting the ball a whole lot better. But fans weren't saying, give him a chance, or you know who needs more shots. Like, that wasn't happening. We were watching the games play out, and he was frustrating. But again, he has a built-in excuse. Like, he is coming off of a major, major injury. So it's somewhat understandable. But then I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, if you're Brad Stevens, I don't know. He did the one major thing by taking him out of the lineup. It's not like he's leading the team in minutes. He's not leading the team in shots. It's so stupid.
And yet there will be people out there who will read this.
Yeah.
And then they will say, oh, look, it's Boston, that racist city again.
Particularly when it comes to Boston. If we could have a white superstar, that would be even better.
I hope that that's not the case. I don't believe that that is the case. He asked the question, this guy Feldman, why were the Celtics so invested in Hayward? I feel like that could be rhetorical. I feel like we already know the answer to that, but he goes into it.
There's like 32 million reasons.
Yeah, he goes, he's earning $31 million this season and is due just under $67 million the next 2 years. He was going to factor significantly into the team's roster construction regardless. There was plenty of financial pressure to get Hayward on track. Right. They signed, and when they signed him, again, it was very competitive for his services. He could have gotten more money to stay in Utah. They were willing to offer to him. And Miami had the same deal ready to go. You remember they had to trade away Avery Bradley to make sure they could get Hayward under the salary cap with the max deal, because anything less than the max deal wasn't going to get it done. So they're making it sound like, oh, the Celtics gave him all this money and they have to play him. Yeah, they gave him all this money so they could get him. He also says Hayward suffered a season-ending injury in Boston's first game last season. He didn't get healthy until shortly before the season. Right. So it's not going to look pretty. Just because Paul George was able to bounce back doesn't mean that Hayward is. And then he talks about how Brad Stevens coached Hayward at Butler. That circle that part. That is the part. If there's any kind of players being annoyed with or thinks that he's playing too much, it's that relationship. It's not the fans,
right?
And they like him because he's white stuff.
No, we've even questioned whether Brad was giving him more minutes because of the relationship, because he'd recruited him as a high school kid, he played him as a college kid.
Do you think Hayward is one of the five most popular players on the team? Because I don't think he is.
Maybe five.
I don't know. People love Marcus Smart. People love Marcus Smart. They go nuts for Marcus Smart. They love Tatum and Brown.
Tatum and Brown. Both.
Kyrie. Even though we kind of rip on him sometimes, overall, the fan base loves Kyrie Irving.
I think Kyrie's number one. I think Tatum's number two. I think Hayward's actually number three.
Do you really?
I do. I think there's an excitement that he brought when he signed here, like that you don't get. Like Marcus Smart was a drafted guy.
I think people are jumping off left and right.
Oh, right now it's... Right now, Marcus Smart
might be over. When you look at weird Celtics Twitter, like you know those guys that are on there and they always have fun during the games, they're going back and forth. I feel like more of like the nicknames and more of all that stuff does not have anything to do with Hayward.
No, Hayward's definitely not part of like the social media.
No,
like,
I mean he plays his video games. He does that. We've seen him on Twitch and all whatever. I'm not saying he's unpopular. I'm just saying to make it out like. Oh, he's getting this special treatment
among fans. Is he more popular than Horford?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, I think people want him to be good. I think that's the number one thing. I think people want him to be the guy.
Well, of course. And you saw it with Utah, and you're hoping that he's going to be able to bring it here. And consistently, he hasn't. He's had games like Minnesota or Golden State where like, holy crap, this is the player that they got. But... I don't think he's the most popular guy on the team by a long stretch.
Sean's on the cell phone. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. Great. What's going on?
Not much. I know this is old news, but thoroughly enjoyed your guys' move to middays. I spend all my day in the car, so to have you guys lighten things up and have some laughs throughout the day, it's just been a...
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
It's been a good move for the station.
Thank you.
Let those obnoxious guys wrap up the day.
Sure.
Quick thing here is I think some of this racism perception of Boston, and especially as it relates to the Celtics, does it have a trickle-down effect from maybe the best era of Celtics basketball was dominated by Bird, McHale, Ainge? That was the strongest era of the Celtics dynasty, and the perception that we root for white players more than African-American players. Is that just guilt by association because that was that era, and from that point on, we just kind of had that perception?
Well, thanks for the call, Sean. And Dale, you could speak to it better than I could, but just from the looking back on the 80s, it did seem like it was always Celtics versus Lakers. It was Bird versus Magic, and so many people did kind of take
Black
it as...
Black versus white.
Yes. There was a little bit of that.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that there wasn't racial overtones. I'm just suggesting that people want to, I guess they want to just can carry that on.
That's
in perpetuity.
Right.
Well, if they had racial problems in the past, you know, remember that busing in South Boston thing?
Right. You could bring up.
Remember the picture of the guy with the flagpole?
Well, you could bring up Bill Russell. You could bring up some of the stories that we've heard about him. Now, Bird last won the title in 86. Right? So, like, we're still going back to something from over 30 years ago, if you're talking about that part of it. And I also feel like, and maybe I'm naive, Dale, but if Magic Johnson was on the Celtics and Larry Bird was on the Lakers, don't you think people in Boston would still cheer for the Celtics? They would not have cheered for the Lakers?
I'm going to guess that, okay. Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk about athletes and fans and interactions gone bad as we continue on as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEE.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah.
Back to...
What? What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show
on WEEI.
I'm a player. I swear to God. I'll f*** you up. You and your wife. I'll f*** you up. 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 I
So last night, the Utah Jazz were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russell Westbrook, who you can barely tell in that cut there, got involved in a heated exchange with a Utah fan. It is one of three instances just in the last 2 days of bad relationships between fans and athletes. Sunday, Premier League Soccer in England.
Oh, my God, that idiot.
A Birmingham fan ran onto the pitch and punched Jack Grealish from Aston Villa during the match.
In, like, the back of the neck.
He punched him in the side of his head, and he ended up getting arrested and hauled off. Last night, Conor McGregor was arrested in South Florida for smashing the cell phone of someone who was trying to take his photo. And then last night, you had Russell Westbrook. I will say this. The idiot who was involved from the fans' perspective.
Yeah.
This guy might be the lowest form of life on the planet.
This guy seems terrible.
This guy, right. And he has, you'll be shocked to hear this. He has since deleted his Twitter and Instagram accounts.
Oh, is that right? He bailed there?
But guess what?
Yeah.
Shane Kiesel, there are screen grabs that exist.
Oh, that's true.
Including one in which he tweets out, "Come at me, N-word boy."
Oh, boy.
I mean, and by the way, there's a lot more where these came from.
Oh, yeah, tons. There's tons. He's locked his account. He deleted all those ones.
Oh, he deleted Twitter.
Yeah, but
it's like, whoa, people are going to see what I actually have said.
Yeah.
So he supposedly said to Russell Westbrook, get down on your knees, you know, like you used to, or something like that.
Right.
Russell Westbrook's just supposed to take it, right?
No, he's not. He's absolutely not. And there was also an incident not too long ago where Russell Westbrook was on the, you know, on the baseline and took a shot, missed or whatever, and this kid like smacked him. And he like turned around and looked at the kid in the front row and looked at the parents and was like, "What is going on?"
Yeah, the kid didn't punch him.
He's obviously fine.
Right,
but I'm just saying, like, what? So like
he actually used it as like a teaching moment and said to the kid,
right.
"Look, you can't do that."
Which the parent should have done, or the guardian, or whoever was there
with the kid
should have done, but obviously didn't. And Westbrook's had a few of these where he has had issues with fans. So on the one hand, I think it might be easy to get to Russell Westbrook a little bit, but on the other hand, there are certainly things that can be said that cross a line. I think any paying customer, if you go in there and you want to heckle, I think that's fine. I think that can be part of it, but there is a line.
There is a line.
There's 100%
a line. Get down on your knees crosses that line.
You're not doing that. And who knows what else the guy said, too. And just based off of his stuff,
if you go through
the
screen grabs of his Twitter account and stuff, trust me, this guy, it's like he's a professional heckler.
Right.
You know,
what a thing to be.
It's like, you know, 15,000 people bought tickets just to listen to you Russell Westbrook a hard time.
Because you can go and you can, you know, you can give the guy the business or whatever. Like, there is something about a home court advantage. But then as soon as you get to the point where you're saying stuff that, you know, people around you are just uncomfortable with, and if you're really just going after these players, first of all, they should be able to respond. Russell Westbrook did. And I was saying this to Rossi. This is a very unpopular opinion of mine, but the malice in the palace, I was like, those guys clearly, they said stuff that crossed the line. They threw stuff at the guys.
Yes.
This isn't the freaking zoo, right? You're going to watch these professional sports. Again, cheer, boo, you know, give the guy the business to a certain degree. But then once you cross the line, you shouldn't be 100% protected, whether they want to snap back at you like Russell Westbrook did verbally. Now, I know once you cross the physical line, it's going to create a whole thing.
But he didn't last night.
He did not. I mean, he made sort of a threat, I guess. But what the guy said to provoke him was much worse. And fans do need to be held to a much higher standard. And you can't just say, oh, he's a professional. Because I think one of the interviews the guy did after the fact was like, oh, yeah, he's got to be like, you know, he's a professional. Yeah, he's a professional basketball player. So you can just say whatever you want to him?
Like this guy Sunday, who ran onto the pitch and punched Jack Grealish in the face.
Oh, my God, that guy.
I wanted both teams on the pitch.
Just to beat the crap out of him.
Kick the ever-loving crap out of this guy.
Yeah, they should have.
I wanted them to just pound this guy. You know, you can go back to the Super Bowl and Matt Chatham with that shot he took at the dope who ran onto the field where
just
Matt Chatham
de-cleated
this guy.
Yeah.
because you don't know.
You interfere on that. You get what you deserve.
Yeah, you absolutely do. So let's hear post game. Obviously, Russell Westbrook was asked about what happened there and what the fans said to him.
Young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to, and for me that's just completely disrespectful. To me, I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans and around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. I've never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years.
Yeah, that's all it is. Think about how many fans he has played in front of over the 11 years he's been in the league. And even the fans, just the ones that are, you know, courtside, I'm sure they've said stuff to him before, but this guy clearly is crossing a line. And so Russell Westbrook doesn't react this way every single time. You know, if a guy boos or, you know, cheers when he misses a shot or something, he's not losing his mind like this. This guy clearly crossed the line. You want to hear from
Shane Kiesel
from the fan? You want to hear from him? Let's hear from him.
And he had I guess heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat. That's heat. And I'm like, well, you're gonna need it. And then it turned into not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
I never said a swear word to him, and everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him. So, like I said, initially I was like, oh, I'm talking with Westbrook, you know? I mean, the guy's one of the greats. I don't care. He can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him, but don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man.
Oh, God. So now he's putting it all on his wife.
And
there.
By the way, if you didn't have the opportunity to go back through the screen grabs of his Twitter and Instagram account,
maybe you'd believe
him. You would
him.
Listen to that and you'd say, huh.
Maybe. Yeah, you'd say, okay,
you know,
maybe.
He sounds very reasoned.
Right.
And then you see tweets where he says things like, come at me, N-word boy.
Oh, boy.
By the way, if the name sounds familiar, Shane Kiesel's cousin is Brett Kiesel, former Pittsburgh Steelers defensive end.
Oh, God. Really?
Yep.
Yikes. Oh, that's not a good sign. That's not good for Brett.
He used to work, Shane, used to work for the Utah Highway Patrol. He since left that position.
I wonder why.
Now sells Toyotas.
Oh, okay. Good job if you can get it, I suppose. But yeah, that is just... That does... I mean, Russell Westbrook has been in the center of a couple of these things before. Remember Marcus Smart when he was in college? And there was that idiot underneath the baseline that said something to him. I don't know what he said, but you can only imagine. And then Marcus Smart actually went in there and shoved the guy pretty good. He got in trouble for it. But that was one where you're like, it has to... you kind of have an idea of what it's going to take. It's not going to be like, hey, nice shot, Marcus! Like, if you start reacting to that, then that's a you problem. But if these guys start getting into racial or homophobic type slurs, like then no, that's not part of the fan experience. Like that is not what you. That's not what when you pay for your ticket. That's not what you get.
No, you don't get to do that.
No.
And now, as I said, Shane Kiesel might be able to sell you this load of tripe.
Yeah,
except for the fact that people screen grabbed a lot of his stuff before he decided.
Right.
Maybe I better get rid of that.
I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He'd say, oh, hey, I'm talking to Russell Westbrook, one of the greats. Like, that's not what was going through your head. That guy, he was looking for something. He was probably trying to be funny to the group that around him, and that's, my guess, is his type of sense of humor, which is not really one. And that's what he was doing. And then he's like, oh, you can say whatever you want to me, but my wife? We're like, all right, buddy. She's 5'1", 110. Like,
don't threaten a woman.
Yeah, don't.
She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man.
Come on, man.
I'm not suggesting she said anything. I don't know.
No idea.
The accusations are that this guy is the one who said.
But I also wouldn't ask her, be like, did your husband say this? She's going to be like, no, he said something about the ice pack.
Never said a word to him. Her first NBA game ever. Welcome to the NBA, Jen.
It is a loser. I'll play devil's advocate for a moment.
Go ahead.
Just very briefly.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Shane... Please, just
I'm playing the game. I'm playing the game.
So Shane Kiesel's telling the truth, and he's saying, you know, just ice your knees, and you know, the arena's loud and Russell Westbrook hears it differently. Is it possible? Sort of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do I think it's likely? Not based on the evidence I've seen from this guy's Twitter and Instagram accounts.
No, I don't think so. And just based off of Westbrook's reaction, I would think he'd have a pretty good idea of what this guy said. I would. I'll side with Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's trying to fight every single fan. Again, he plays 82 games a year for 11 seasons.
This guy is using racial epithets.
Yeah.
On his social media accounts and
right.
probably intelligently realized, you know what, I better shut those down.
Right.
Because people know who I am now and they know my name.
Yeah,
and they start traipsing through this stuff. Taylor Twellman, former New England Revolution player, now works at ESPN. He was pulling up a lot of these screen grabs and putting them out there earlier today. Sorry, Shane. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that the stuff I read off your social media accounts before you got rid of them so that we couldn't see them, I'm going to suggest that I believe Russell Westbrook before I believe you.
I agree with that. Yeah, 100%.
It just, and to the point now, by the way, I'll talk about McGregor for just a moment. Now, this guy can be a bit of a nut job, okay?
But yes,
I also think that, you know, this whole secretly videotaping people, secretly shooting pictures of people. Do you think Bill Belichick said, yeah, sure, take pictures of me coming out of the surf Barbados?
Unfortunately, it's sort of the times now where everybody has a camera, everybody thinks they can get something, and you never know with Conor McGregor. But, yeah, because the first thing I saw that popped up on Twitter last night was the mugshot. Like, oh, boy, what did McGregor do now? And then you look into the charges, and you're like, oh, he grabbed somebody's phone who probably got too close to him. And I know you're not supposed to do that, but not the end of the world. You can almost see why he did it. Right, he grabbed the phone, smashed the phone, then I think he took off with the phone. Now, he can't steal the phone, but obviously pissed.
I have a friend who was in Ireland with his family on a vacation, and he and his son ran into Conor McGregor and, you know, politely asked, hey, would you mind if we got it? They said he couldn't have been more accommodating, couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more gracious.
Right.
I've seen pictures of Conor with my friend's son. And Now, generally speaking, when you ask athletes like that, if what you're instead doing is running up in front of him and snapping photos of him, chances are he might touch off a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so. That's another one where, you know, I don't know the full story, but I'll side with Conor McGregor on that one.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I like what Matt Chatham did in the Super Bowl. I wish those soccer players on the weekend had done the same thing to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Get down on your knees like you used to.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.